This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome in. It is Sabres Live. It's one of those you can't make this up Wednesdays.
Really?
It is. And I don't know why this seems to happen a lot.
Okay.
Rocket Richard winner this year to be. Maybe MVP to be.
Mm-hmm.
Leon Draisaitl had the longest point streak in the NHL this year, an 18-gamer, and yet somehow it came to an end in a 7-1 rout over Utah.
Yeah, that is incredible to think. And look, the Oilers, McDavid had 3 points, Hyman 3 points, RNH 3 points, Matthias Ekholm comes back after missing six. He has 3 points. It's like everybody, but Colson was on there. Draisaitl got dinged up a little bit in the game and then kind of took it easy, I think. But he had a few great opportunities.
Yes,
but even in a 7-1 game. Oh, yeah. In a 7-1 game, to not have touched a puck before a goal, like, that was pretty. But I will tell you this. Draisaitl's probably saying, fine, I don't care about the point. They got a big win against a team, Utah, that had been charging. And now, I listen, I know the Sabres are in Utah tomorrow night, and maybe they all watched it on TV last night and was like, okay, we got to do exactly what the Oilers did. But, there's not a lot of Sabres news going on right now. They had the day off yesterday. They're not practicing until this afternoon. We'll have news tomorrow for you on the Sabres. But around the National Hockey League last night, wow, was it exciting. And those playoff races eating up was spectacular.
Well, Utah laid a mammoth egg last night. So
that is an undercover, sneaky, good reference there, Duffer. Because the Utah Hockey Club has now continued their trademark like filing, and it looks like the Mammoth will be their team name next year. That is the rumor mill right now. So when you say they laid a mammoth egg, that is a sneaky good reference. I don't know that anybody but me kind of caught that.
Producer Jeff did for sure. And it's 2 minutes into the show.
And Insider George definitely did also.
It's 2 minutes into the show and I have peaked. So you're on your own for the final 52. it was it's relevant, last night's Oilers win, for the Draisaitl note, for where Edmonton is in the standings, what they're trying to accomplish, can still win the division because Vegas has stubbed their toe. But more importantly, from a Sabre standpoint, Utah is coming off a humiliating loss, and they lost ground. Vancouver won. St. Louis won. Calgary won. It could not have been a worse night for the new Utah franchise.
Yeah, and it couldn't have been a worse night for anybody that's wanting to be smart and kind of cheeky on social media, because Calgary win, right? So you're like, oh, the Calgary Flames have won. They're in a wild card spot. And then St. Louis wins. Oh, the St. Louis Blues have won, and they're in a wild card spot. And now Calgary and Vancouver are out. And people are saying, oh, look at this. Two Canadian teams are out of the playoffs out west. And sure enough, Vancouver pulls a, which was an unexpected win against the Winnipeg Jets, but let's just, you know, kind of like the Flames too. But, you know, now Vancouver slides back in. So I'm like, if you were too quick and too finger happy on social media, you probably went and deleted some tweets or some posts, because it changed multiple times in the Western Conference last night.
So Vancouver has won 3 of 4. Are you going to change your tune?
No, I still think St. Louis is the team that gets in. I really, Duffer, you probably were the one that the Binnington build me up a little bit. Like, you're like, I think the guy's a gamer, and winning the Four Nations faceoff and getting that, hey, I can do it, right? I can silence all the naysayer. Mm-hmm. I can silence Marty Biron in Buffalo that think that I suck. And then he took that and took it a step further with his team. I think this is great. Now, I mean, I think it was Joel Ofer last night, so it wasn't Binnington, but still, Binnington's a big part of it.
In the history of NHL commentary, no one has silenced Martin Biron. There, many things can be true, but in this case, that is the truism. My goodness. Anyway, they've won 3 out of 4.
Well, the Montreal Canadiens are silencing me right now.
Hang on. Let's stay in the West since we started there.
Yeah.
So Vancouver's won 3 out of 4.
Yep.
Calgary held or didn't. The New York Rangers may have held themselves to 13 shots on goal, channeling their inner Boston Bruin on home ice. What a dismal display until the final 2 minutes, when they looked like they might actually tie it up.
I am going to read you a tweet from Rob, not a tweet, a text from Rob yesterday. So, you know, this is somebody that works at TSN that I text with once in a while, and he goes, where did he text me? He goes, not for the broadcast or anything. It's not that this is really a topic, but are the Rangers just that bad? I've watched the last two games closely, and I've been extremely underwhelmed. And they had 13 shots yesterday. And look, they were right there, and Shesterkin kept them in, and a great response from the Calgary Flames. But the Rangers scored early in the game. They get Panarin to go on a partial breakaway 2-on-1. He gets in. But Calgary just stormed back. Mackenzie Weegar had a great game. And then they didn't even sit back. Like, Calgary wasn't even, oh, we don't want to make a mistake. We're up 2-1. We're going to sit back. They kept pushing, and Shesterkin had to be good. If not, that would have been a 5-1 game.
So Calgary back in the win column on the heels of a lopsided loss. And St. Louis just continues to roll. Now, granted, it was a meager opponent in the Nashville Predators, who seemingly are focused only on whatever lies ahead for concerts in Nashville. I should be more.
That's what I was going to say. What bar on Broadway are we going to tonight? Basically.
And that's too over the top. But they just don't look well right now. And they're obviously third worst in the NHL. And it's been a miserable existence and an unprecedented, you know, top five worst season in franchise history. Mm-hmm. St. Louis, though, is 10-2-2. And every little thing about them just seems impressive at this point in time. So, I don't know. You're big on them. I'm kind of worried Vancouver's going to maybe pull this rabbit out of the hat. But do you trust, like,
Brock Besser had a great game with Vancouver yesterday. Elias Pettersson looked better. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like I can trust those two to be at the next level that needs to be happening every game. Quinn Hughes is fantastic. Oh. Quinn Hughes.
Did you see that side by side graphic of like with Quinn and without last night? I think I was watching the Jets broadcast, which made it even more impressive, like how much they wanted to emphasize Quinn Hughes' impact on the Vancouver game. Oh, my God.
I watched the Vancouver broadcast, which they were doing a telethon during the broadcast. So it was
Canucks for Kids.
And it was incredible. So I stayed with that broadcast because I wanted to listen to the stories.
They do a wonderful job.
It's a great organization. Anyway, so it was fantastic. So I didn't see the graphic you're talking about, but I know that this Vancouver Canucks team looks completely different. But if I'm going to compare Vancouver and the St. Louis Blues, I'm looking at the St. Louis Blues and their addition. Dylan Holloway is at a really good year. Jordan Kyrou is near closing in on 30 goals. I'm talking to Thomas and those guys, like they have a solid group right now playing really well.
They do, and they're, again, still on the outside. And then there's, you know, the more inside divisional play, and Dallas gets another enormous win. Ducks were full credit for finally having a what I thought was a really strong game start to finish. Mikael Granlund had 2 goals. It's concerning still, no matter how good Dallas is playing, that Haskinen may not make it back until like maybe round two. You know, and that is devastating. He's a one on most teams in the NHL, and by a million miles, a number one on the Dallas Stars. So it's I don't know how they're going to overcome it. They have elite forward depth for sure, but boy, oh boy. And
the problem is they won't finish first in their division. So
they've separated a little bit from Colorado with still a game in hand, and that's what's really interesting here. So,
but if you were Dallas and you say, okay, we'll finish first in the division, and maybe we get St. Louis, or maybe we get Vancouver, Minnesota in the first round, you're thinking, okay, that will buy you some time. You win the first round, Heiskanen comes back. But it is going to be Colorado-Dallas in the first round. And if you don't have Miro Heiskanen, you're playing one of the probably top 4 favorites to win the cup this year in Colorado. You're going to get them in the first round because of...
And the Norris winner in Cale Makar this year.
Cale Makar,
all due respect to Werenski, who I've been propping up all year, but the reality is what Makar has done of late and consistently, and because of Quinn Hughes' injury, he's not likely to repeat as Norris winner, even though his numbers would tell you it's fair game to give him a chance to be a repeat winner. But I don't think they're going to deny Makar that honor.
Again, if Columbus were to make the playoffs, of the leadership and the play of Zach Werenski, it'd be a different story. But Columbus dropping off a little bit, Zach Werenski's dropping off a little bit, and Makar and the Avalanche keep soaring right through everything. So it's like, okay, that makes sense. I would even argue right now that if Vancouver makes the playoff, Quinn Hughes and his play probably would slide in ahead of Zach Werenski just because of what you talk about, the win-loss record. Mm-hmm. Some would say that's more of an MVP vote when your impact to your team is that incredible. But the best defenseman right now, Makar, Hughes, are kind of in their own little bubble.
So the West has action tonight with Colorado at Toronto and Seattle at Minnesota as the only 2 games in the NHL this evening. But Toronto's presence, as we discussed yesterday in large detail within the Atlantic, could mess with the standings very quickly here, given that Tampa, Florida, and Toronto are all separated by 2 points. When we look at the East, though, Marty, and we have a lot to get into, and obviously Buffalo is at Utah tomorrow to continue the 4-game trip, I want to start at the top because number one in the NHL is, again, the Washington Capitals.
Yes.
I broke their season down because we've talked about them in so many ways, but I certainly haven't looked at them this way. Incredibly, they lost their first game of the year, but they finished their first 10-game segment 8-2.
Yeah.
In the following 10-game segments, they have gone 5-4-1, 8-1-1, 5-3-2, 8-1-1, 4-3-3, and now 7-1. So they are likely to have 4 segments of 8 wins or more.
Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is for anybody to get 40 wins in a season? Like, it's just, it's, they're number one in goals for, they're number two in goals against. I'm curious whether you see something glaring here that doesn't allow you or others to believe in this team.
The glaring part for me, and if you want to start there, they've had great goaltending all year, but they keep doing a rotation. And I don't know that you can keep doing that for 82 games and have somebody ready for the playoffs. So unless the Washington Capitals kind of show me, okay, we have a number one guy, we're going to play that guy more, and we're going to get ramped up for the playoffs, I still am going to put a question mark. Like, think of Swayman, Ullmark in Boston. They kept going back and forth. Like, oh, this is nice. Like, if Swayman has a bad game, it's okay. Ullmark's going to play the next one, and then I'll play in 2 games, and I'll be fine. That's what is going on in Washington and has worked well. But when it comes to playoffs, that doesn't translate in the same way. And Boston has obviously seen that the last couple of years and how they've not been able to continue on the same rhythm that they had in the regular season. So that's why I'm worried about the Washington Capitals. But if there is a team out there that I look at their depth, and I don't think that people give Tom Wilson enough credit, Connor McMichael enough credit, Lars Eller coming back, I don't think people give him enough credit. Like, it's not just Pierre-Luc Dubois, Ovechkin, Alexei Protas, it's everybody else, and they all play the same. When Brandon Duhaime steps on the ice as a fourth liner, they still are fast, they still forecheck, they still all play the same. That's the thing. That's Spencer Carberry and the Washington Capitals in a nutshell right there.
Tom Wilson has largely cut the crap out of his game. He is a 30-goal scorer for the first time. They may end up with 4 30-goal scorers. Protas is 1 away. McMichael is 6 away. Yep. Obviously, Ovechkin is the other. They may end up with 6 players with 60 or more points. They are second only to Colorado in points by defensemen. And if you've been following the Avalanche story, they have led or almost led this category for so long. And what have we thought about the Avalanche? Really good team. And I just, this is right now trending to be the third best season in franchise history for Washington. Now, that hasn't translated into success. They weren't anywhere close to that the year they finally won the Cup in 2019, but they were good. And you mentioned the goaltending. And you laid it out about as clear in recent history as possible. Because last night, Logan Thompson won for the 30th time. He is 30 wins, 4 losses, and 5 regulation losses. He has tied for the fewest regulation losses when hitting the 30-win milestone.
Yeah.
Tiny Thompson in 1930.
My boy, Tiny.
Bill Dernan in 1944, and Linus Ullmark just a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
that's it.
And Ullmark had a Vezina Trophy winning season.
Right.
Logan Thompson, unfortunately, is not going to win the Vezina this year. It will be Connor Hellebuck. Look, unless Hellebuck has a terrible end to the season, and then you have to rethink it, but it's going to be Connor Hellebuck. Winnipeg wasn't great last night. Hellebuck was just average. But I think Winnipeg has to do the opposite of what Washington and Toronto has to do now. Washington and Toronto have to pick a starter and up their workload a little bit. Winnipeg has to say, Connor Hellebuck, we're going to give you more of a break. I thought Hellebuck could get to 49 wins this year, could get to maybe 50. You know, 48 is the record in a season. Braden Holtby and Marty Brodeur, I think it is. Anyway, Bernie Parent in a different era where you did not get overtime and shootout wins at 47, which was incredible. That may be the best stat, right, in goaltending, like wins in a season. I thought Hellebuck was going to get to 48, 49, maybe 50. It's not going to happen. You move on. Now you give Comrie a few more starts in Winnipeg, and you rest your starter because he needs a big playoffs this year.
So now that I've given you all the Capitals numbers, except for the other area that they lead the league, which I thought you might use as a negative against them. They lead the NHL in all situations, shooting percentage, and five-on-five shooting percentage. So the only question that often comes from that is it sustainable? But I think you offset it by talking about their depth, right?
Yeah, and look, this team has scored empty net goals, which helps a lot when you're winning because that helps your shooting percentage. Mm-hmm. You know, the empty net goals, it's one shot, one goal. It's great. Well, yeah, because you cannot miss an empty net goal and be credited a shot on goal. If you miss the net, it's not a shot. So that those empty net goals help. But yeah, the depth is going to help. Now, here's a little this or that for you, Duffer. Mm-hmm. Because as it stands right now, if playoffs were to start tomorrow, the Washington Capitals would play the Montreal Canadiens in the first round because the Montreal Canadiens are now in the second wild card spot with Ottawa being in the first wild card and only 4 points separating those two teams. Mm-hmm. It could have been eight, but it was four. Montreal comes back in the third period yesterday. Who wins that first round matchup? Washington or Montreal? Because it's not as easy as saying first place team should win and the eighth place team won't. It's a pretty tight, it would be a tight matchup, I think, Montreal and Washington.
I agree. And I'm scarred by, I think it was 2009-10 when Halak shut down Ovi, much to my chagrin. I certainly wouldn't be a person that throws all my chips in against the hottest team in the final 2 months of the regular season, and Montreal, by winning again, remains the hottest team post Four Nations. Do you know, can you name, because there's only one, can you name the one player in the NHL that has more points than Nick Suzuki post Four Nations?
Post Four Nations... Man, is it's not McDavid.
He's in the West. We've talked about his team McKinnon? Already. Nope.
We talked about his team already.
They won last night.
So we talked about St. Louis. We talked about the Stars. I am going to go with the Stars. Who are the Stars with that guy? Wyatt Johnson?
Rope Hintz,
okay.
Isn't that amazing?
That's pretty crazy. Rope Hintz and Nick Suzuki since the Four Nations.
19 points for Hintz, 18 for Suzuki, Draisaitl, and, as you suspected, Connor McDavid.
Yeah, McDavid's heating up a little bit, which is good. And last night he scored, which he had only gotten three goals in his previous 17. Mm-hmm. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins had no goals in 10, right? So that was big. But Montreal, okay, so we've talked about the Suzuki line. Suzuki, Caulfield, Slafkovský have been great in the second half of the season. Suzuki, I would think, may get some votes, maybe a fifth place vote for MVP. That's how good he's been with the Montreal Canadiens if they make the playoffs. But their depth, Christian Dvorak scores a goal early in the game. Anderson has a big game. Gallagher digs the puck out from under Linus Ullmark. Suzuki scores. But one thing that happened in that game yesterday, Duffer, that was like it really could have been a scary moment as Josh Anderson took a skate to the back of the ankle. Mm-hmm. And the skate blade actually went right between the skate and the sock, right? Like the game sock. And it looked like he was going to have a full Achilles tendon cut. And even his reaction was he felt the steel on his leg and he went to the back, to the bench. And he's like, no, I'm good. Everything's fine. And he had a fantastic game. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't believe it. I'm like, either it was Pinto with Ottawa has the dullest blades ever. Like it's a butter knife that, you know, or either Josh Anderson's wearing cut resistant socks. And so just like that, I reached out to my old buddy, Jim Ramsey, who is my trainer and my medical guy in the Rangers. He's now in Montreal. He said, yeah, let me check with Josh if he's okay to talk about it. And he responded back, incredible that this was the first time in his career that Josh Anderson wore cut resistant socks. He had never worn cut resistant socks in his career. And somehow they've been educating the players to wear that. You got Tom Fitzgerald, the GM of the New Jersey Devils, pleading for the league to mandate cut resistance, neck protection, wrist protection, and socks because Casey Fitzgerald, former Sabres, got a cut to the neck this year playing in the AHL. So as a fodder and as a GM, he says, this is what we need to do. So all of these put together, Josh Anderson says, you know what? I'm going to try these socks the last few days. He decides to wear them, and it saved the season. Maybe saved his career, right? Because who knows if you come back from an Achilles cut like this and what it's going to be like. Incredible story out of Montreal last night.
Well, kudos to you for reaching out.
I was reaching out on a request from Darren Dreger, by the way.
Yeah. Well, so you're the insider to the insider? How does that
work? I'm the assistant to the insider, not the assistant insider. Very different.
Should we work on a new intro when Dreger joins later in the week?
You know what? Let's let the Dreger enjoy it, you know, because I think it was discussed last night and this morning at the GM's meeting about this incident with Josh Anderson and the fact that Tom Fitzgerald had just spoke to the media about it, emotionally spoke to the media about it. Because he's like, my wife and I were scared to death when Casey took that skate to the neck in December this year. And now, you know, he's like, I want, so here's the thing. He wants the league to grandfather it in. New players coming in, just like visors and helmets were once grandfathered. Neck protection, wrist protection, socks, right? That should be mandatory. It's hard to mandate the wrist and the socks because you probably can't see it, but you can see the players wearing the neck or not wearing the neck guards. So that's probably, but Tom Fitzgerald also said that he would, if he doesn't get any pushback from the NHLPA, mandate it in New Jersey, even if there's no league rule towards it. Kind of like Lou Lamoriello doesn't want anybody to have the beard and, you know, the Yankee style. Well, Tom Fitzgerald wants to mandate it in New Jersey that everybody that plays for his team has the neck protection.
So I stopped by to see my youngest at work yesterday, and I asked her about school, and what do you think she told me about? Based on what you just said.
Somebody had an accident at school, like a
She's in an EMT class.
Oh.
And the teacher talked about the Clint Malarchuk incident.
No way.
I'm not kidding. This is crazy how some days it just becomes a dominant theme for, you know.
I mean, we know Clint, Richard Zednik with the Florida Panthers.
And that's what I was telling her, was we had another horrifying incident involving Richard Zednik. Yeah.
And look, cuts happen all the time. I remember Donald Odette, I believe, ended up having a cut on his hand from a skate that fell into the locker room, and he cut some tendons in his
wrist. Dan Boyle had the same thing.
Had the same thing, like in the locker room. It's simple. And I remember Kalu Koliakovo years ago when there was an OHL goalie at Niagara, I believe, who got a cut in the back of his leg and almost died.
Yes.
Horrifying. And Carlo partnered up with a cut resistant like company that does like kind of like the Under Armour stuff you put underneath your gear. And I remember getting something sent for my son Jacob to wear because I'm like, he's playing youth hockey. There's no EMT and no trainers that would save his life if something like that happened. And I know we have tons of hockey players in this area. I just would ask parents to do their homework. Your kid is 12 years old. If he says, no, mom and dad, I don't want to wear cut resistant things. It's uncomfortable. And you're 12 years old. You're not playing the NHL. You're not making $10 million. Like an accident can happen and you're going to get used to it. And in 2 weeks from now, you won't even say anything. Neck guard, cut protector, socks, because it's the leg, the Achilles, leg pants. They protect the back of the legs where you have that artery in the thigh by the femur, right? Wear the protection. It doesn't cost more money. It doesn't cost less money. It's the same thing.
Did you not have mandated neckwear as a kid in Canada? We did.
We did, but tougher. I remember the guys used to use white or black tape, like stick tape, and they would roll it and tape it. So they would, it basically was wearing a bracelet.
Right.
And I wore a turtleneck. And so I felt like this was going to give me a little protection, but I didn't like wearing the neck guard. And luckily enough, I never took a skate up there, but I did break my collarbone. And Jim Ramsey, the medical guy in Montreal now, when I broke my collarbone, he was with me in New York and he goes, "Why are you not wearing a neck guard? Like a neck protection?" I'm like, "I have the plastic dangler." He goes, "That's not going to do anything if your head's sideways." And he forced me to wear a neck guard underneath my stuff. And he had it reinforced on both collarbones. And I thought, come on. And like, it took me 2 weeks. I was used to it.
Did you have an MRI after that?
I had an X-ray. I can show you the X-ray.
No. I feel like you recently told us an MRI story. So that was
I was a kid when I had the MRI story.
Oh, were you? Okay.
I was getting headaches as a kid, migraine. They wanted to make sure everything was all right. So they put me in a MRI CAT scan type of machine. And unfortunately, I had a little Tracy Morgan incident in the MRI. So yeah.
Amazing.
It wasn't from food poisoning. It was from being in that claustrophobic situation. But yeah, I had a little Tracy Morgan incident.
It's amazing how you can always bring it full circle with current events. I'm so impressed. We have the Sabres tomorrow, of course, in Utah. Yes. And not too far down the road, later on this month, we have Sabres Pride Night, and we have a T-shirt and ticket package available now, and we hope to see you at KeyBank Center for this one. It's March 27th. Penguins are in town. This package starts at just $30. Visit sabres.com/pridepack to purchase yours today. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well-qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Pretty cool example, looking through the lens sometimes that people don't get to see of what happens behind the scenes in hockey. And the Sabres photography team joined longtime equipment manager Dave Williams and his team overnight on the road to provide a little inside look and what life is like in his role. And it's basically a photo essay called Steel, Sticks, and Cups of Coffee. And you can find it at sabres.com/equipment and check it out today. It's super cool. And
George Babcock has a few pictures in there. So for those that want to know, who is this guy we talk about a lot? George Babcock is in there.
Is it pictures of George or is George providing pictures? Because these are
pictures
two
of George.
Entirely different things.
Pictures of George. There's a picture where in the late hours, he's got the equipment and he's bringing it in. So yeah, everybody, all the training staff, it's a lot of work. It's hard work. They stayed there late. Their first on the scene in the morning, laundry, everything. But the pictures are awesome, and it tells a really great stories of what happens behind the scene.
So one thing that we did not talk about after my own personal essay on the Washington Capitals last segment was Ovechkin not scoring.
I know.
And he needs, like, talk about burying the lead. Anyway, he still needs 8 to set the record in the final 14 games. Will he do it?
Oh, I want to say yes. And you know what would be so poetic is that I believe the Washington Capitals played the Pittsburgh Penguins in the last game of the season. So wouldn't it be incredible if it happened in the last game? Yeah, it's a Thursday, April 17th. It is in Pittsburgh, so it wouldn't be in front of the home fans, but the Sid Ovi rivalry. And then Ovi would score last game of the year, pass Wayne Gretzky. The Washington Capitals are on the ice, and he shares a hug with Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. Like, that would be awesome.
No chance.
You don't think
Crosby
would be? How many
times this year have I said, don't bet against Sidney Crosby? He would never, ever, ever let that happen.
I'm not betting against him, but he would definitely go over. And, you know, maybe do a jersey swap right there. Sid, I want your jersey.
Here's their schedule. The Capitals play the Flyers, the Panthers, the Jets, the Wild. Then
Sabres
host the Buffalo Sabres. Then it's Boston, Carolina, Chicago, the Islanders, Carolina, Columbus, Columbus again. Then the Islanders and Penguins.
Well, you did mention their win last night, 4-1 against the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah.
Feel like Detroit is done. I mean, I get it. Detroit's only 3 points
standings.
Back of Montreal,
exactly.
But it feels like they're done.
They're not done.
Peter Mrazek played again last night. Like, what? I'm just so
Well, he
confused.
Won't play the next one. I can just about guarantee you that.
Yeah, and so now you're putting, you know, Cam Talbot back in, and you're going to go to Talbot and maybe Lyon a couple of times. It's like, what happened there, right? There's a
lot. You what happened there. They lost 6 in a row. Now they've lost 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
And
so they tried something new. They acquired Mrazek, and he played well a couple of games. Yeah. But I feel like Detroit's done. So you're basically are looking at, are the Islanders making a push? They had another comeback win last night.
Okay.
They're down 2-0 to Pittsburgh, and they're making a push.
For the radio crowd, as you bid adieu to the Red Wings this season.
Yeah.
The Islanders, Jackets, and Wings all have the same point total. So calm down.
They all have 70 points, but the Red Wings have played one more game than the Blue Jackets and Islanders. Mm-hmm. And so their win percentage and point percentage is lower.
And they've all played less than the Rangers.
Yeah, oh my gosh. We talked about the Rangers. 13 shots last night against the Calgary Flames. And Dan Vladar was in that. Like, it wasn't even Dustin Wolf. It's like, hey, they have their backup. Let's go.
It was back-to-back, and Wolf had a tough one in Toronto. So.
And now they have New Jersey and the New York Islanders. The Calgary Flames have Thursday and Saturday. But anyway, the Rangers, look, the Eastern Conference is going to be like, when does the wheel stop, right? It's going to be a changing position. Montreal, New York, Islanders, whatever, they're going to change. Some teams are going to, and then it's going to stop. And then it will be like, oh, 82 games have been played. Who is in the spot? Because it's going to interchange the whole rest of the season. The last month is going to be crazy for that. But I feel like Detroit, you don't meet the bar. The bar that the Canadians have set, even the Islanders coming back in 2 games against Florida and last night against Pittsburgh. Columbus, I just want Columbus to push, and I hope they get back on the winning ways here. Mm-hmm. So the Detroit Red Wings, you don't meet my expectations right now.
Again, the Wings have 2 wins in the last 10. The Rangers have 2 wins in the last 8. They are 2-4-2. The Islanders have gone 6-3-1 in the last 10, including the 2 comeback wins you spoke of when down by multiple goals in period number 3. Montreal is 8-1-2 in their last 11 games. Sam Montembeau is 7-0-1 in his last 8 games. And They stopped one of the hottest teams in the NHL last night. That would be Wild Card One, the Ottawa Senators, who lost for the first time since Dylan Cousins joined the team.
Yeah, so Montreal have been great. And Montembeau has been good, but Didi let in a terrible goal to Travis Hamonic that made it 3-2. And he even like was put his hand on his head like, oh my God, I can't believe I give up that goal. Like there was no screen. It went underneath his pad. Mike Johnson on the TSN Montreal broadcast goes, did it hit his pad and come back into the net? Because it looked like maybe it was going wide. I just think it went under. It was a terrible goal to give up, just to see Lane Hudson a few minutes later decide, you know what, I'll go down the wing and score. But here's with Ottawa. Ottawa's been fun. Ottawa's been scoring. Ottawa's been producing. But in that six-game winning streak, they won three of those games by giving up three goals. Like they had to score four, five, and six a few of those games to be able to get the winning streak. Yeah. And now they gave up technically four goals yesterday, two empty netters. But can they get the job done defensively? I know Ullmark was winning, but he was winning with a save percentage being, you know, 850, 870, 860 in some of the games. Like he had the one big game against Detroit where he made 48 saves on 49 shots. But other than that, it's been very average. I'm worried about Ottawa in the sense that they've built a cushion right now, so they should be fine. Mm-hmm. But they got to play better defensively because it's been a little leaky, let's just put it, the last few games.
Well, Buffalo's got them two more times, so we'll see how those games play out. The Sabres are into their road trip. They're into Utah. They'll practice this afternoon. They have the hockey club tomorrow in what is game two of the four-game trip. The weekend will play out with two afternoon games for the Sabres as they take on Saturday, the Minnesota Wild, who again are in action tonight, certainly not locked down yet in their wild card, but Minnesota takes on Seattle tonight. They will host Buffalo on Saturday afternoon, and then the Jets host Buffalo on Sunday afternoon. Yeah. Those are 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock games respectively. So again, really interesting, but we're talking about Ottawa and obviously, you know, what lays ahead. Again, I think you said what's most important. They have the cushion and I can't imagine it's going to slip on them, but you never know based on how this Eastern race has gone all season long. And we're seeing the Red Wings and Rangers kind of live, and Bruins, obviously, living in that window of mediocrity right now.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, I guess we've had moments this year where teams were winning and it was like, oh, everybody's getting in the battle. And now we have, you call it a window of mediocrity. Like we have some teams that are losing, but you talk about Detroit, they're 3 points back. It's not like they've lost a ton of like
Columbus.
Exactly. So is Columbus. Yeah. You look at the Columbus Blue Jackets, you look at their scores and you're like, oh, Columbus lost again. Oh, Columbus lost again. Well, you know what? Before the end of the weekend, they could be in the wild card spot. Mm-hmm. That's just as simple as that. And that's why it irks me to a certain extent to know that the Sabres were 4 points back of Ottawa, maybe like late November. And I'm like, okay. And then they had the 13 games, losing streak and all that. But you were right there. And it irks me to know that at one point we thought, this season is almost over, but it's never over because you can always battle back. Nashville proved it last year. Mm-hmm. They went 16-0-1 or whatever. Like you can always come back, and it's kind of like they should be there. They should be within 4 or 5 points, and they're not.
Great use of the word irks. I am wondering who you are most bullish on in the Eastern wildcard race.
Bullish.
Remember that was one of our go-to.
Yeah, who
words,
was I bullish on? And I knew now why. Like we'd say,
are you bullish on Montreal that they're going to hold that spot?
Duffer. I'm going to say yes. And because you know why? Because this is what I want the playoffs first round matchup to be. Okay, so I would love, look, Montreal would be in. I would love the Rangers to get in so they can play Washington in the first round. I think that'd be great. And I want Toronto, Ottawa. But look, if it's Washington, Montreal, we go back to, again, that series with Halak you know, they're great matchups.
Yeah, they are great matchups. And the sun is shining today, and there's a really good reason for that, even amidst sadness. I will tell you all about it next as we continue Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, after watching some incredible hockey last night, I ended up going to bed in tears because I looked at Instagram right before I went to bed and learned through the Punt Pediatric Collaborative that just an incredible cancer warrior, Lucas Lowe, had passed away. He was diagnosed when he was 7. And 14 years later, he was still fighting. Mm-hmm. And we met Lucas through the Sabres and Camp Good Days years ago. There are no shortage of words to describe his impact, his love for others, his empathy, his care, his network of supporters. I want to really... I didn't know this. The Akron Fire Department had made him an honorary member. He was a huge Bandits fan, which is why I'm wearing the Bandits colors today. Lucas was, he was everything to so many people. And that's why I said before the break that the sun is shining today, because we know that Lucas is looking over us.
Yeah, and
this is a tough one, Marty, especially on the heels of seeing all the great people that worked with Punt on Saturday at Belted Out for Bella. It's just a huge loss.
And you know, we think of his family, obviously.
His mom, Maureen, is one of the most incredibly strong people I've ever met, ever.
Oh. Yeah, and... it's never easy, but they were with him until the end, and they were his support and going through some tough, tough times over the last 14 years of having the battle. But it's just a reminder that we are lucky if we're healthy and we can help, right? The Punt is a great foundation that helps people that maybe have had to step away from work and, you know, can't pay their mortgage or their car, and they help people and families support those that are in the fight. And this month we're doing Bald for Bucks, the money raised through Bald for Bucks, and plenty other things. We're going to do the Ryan Miller, Catwalk for Charity. Like, if you can help organizations around, help donate, because it helps families like the one of Lucas, who for 14 years relied on the support of a community. And there's so many great charities out there.
I posted a story on Instagram to share the words that were said and have always been said about Lucas. So you can see that on Instagram. And to echo Marty's words, help and donate where you can. We need to end childhood cancer. We'll see you tomorrow.